Before we get into the message today, just three items that I'd like to note really quickly. The first is what's on the screen right now, and that is about the involvement forms. Remember to fill out an involvement form. You can do so online. You can also pick one up in the foyer. Fill that out and be sure to get it back to us by February 1st. Back there by the office area, there's a little box and you can put the hard copy, the involvement form, in there. Of course, you can also fill that out online. The web address is there on the screen, and take time to do that. Through this involvement form, we have the opportunity to mature as disciples and also think about how we can be a light in this community. It takes all of God's people doing God's work to make the impact in this world that God has called us to make. And so each one of us plays a role in what this body is doing as we make an impact in this community. So please take this seriously. We are going to, as we compile the information from those involvement forms, we are going to be very intentional in seeing that as you fill those out, that you will have opportunities to do what it is that you'd say you like to do within this body. Speaking of that, on February 1st, there's going to be a brief meeting for those that are ministry leaders now or desire to be ministry leaders immediately following the morning service. So that's next Sunday, right down here in front. We're going to talk a little bit about more about those involvement forms. That's for those of you who consider yourself a ministry leader, desire to be a ministry leader, and even if you just want to learn more about these involvement forms and what's going on with this congregation, you are certainly welcome to be a part of that. That's next Sunday, immediately following the morning service here in the front of the auditorium. So that's item number one. The second item is really exciting. As you know, many of our young families are away at a family retreat right now, and Stephen Stone is going to be baptized this morning. So we rejoice with Stephen and his decision to be a follower of Christ through baptism. So that's the good news. We also need to mention, this is item number three, that the minister of the Bertram Church of Christ, Gary Blakeney, has passed away. Many of you may have known Gary or might know of the Bertram Church of Christ. Perhaps you were even a former member of the Bertram Church of Christ. But in a very sudden way, I believe he was only in his mid-50s. He had an issue, and I don't know all the details, but at a very young age, very shocking news for that church. And so we certainly want to be praying for the Bertram Church of Christ, and we'll be exploring ways that we can be a blessing to them in this really difficult time. So before we get into our message, let's go ahead and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. Your love is tangible. We see it in so many ways. We see it through our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see it through your creation. We see it through the beauty of song and the beauty of relationships. Father, we see it in the truth that Jesus Christ has come and he has died for us and he has risen from the dead that we may live eternally. So we praise you for who you are. We're so thankful for the decision that Stephen has made to become a follower of yours through baptism. It's our prayer, Father, that he will continue to mature in the faith. We pray that this church family can surround him with support and love as he grows into a mature disciple of yours. Father, we lift up to you right now the Blakeney family and specifically that church and those that are close to him as they deal with this tragic and sudden loss of someone that meant so much to them. Father, in only the ways that you know how to do, we pray that you are bring comfort and peace to them during this time. And help us, Father, to know of ways that we can support and encourage that family, that church family, during this valley moment that they are in. We're thankful that a servant of yours is home with you and present with you. But as we deal with this, this loss to us, help us to do so in a healthy way. Father, as we continue to think about fresh starts, it's our prayer that we can continually mature as disciples of yours, living faithfully to you so that others can come to know you and to understand what it is to have life abundantly in your Son. We pray all this in His name. Amen. So I've got a plate here, and it's a Christmas plate that we had left over in the pantry. So this is the first plate that I found that wasn't glass, so I thought I would just bring this one. Here's what happens so often in our life. I know it happens for me and Sarah. Perhaps it happens to you as well. But what happens so often in life is we have a lot going on. We are really busy. And so let this plate for just a moment represent your life. What happens is we put all kinds of things on our plate, right? We've got work that's represented by strawberry flakes. This is one of Adeline's toys. So we have work that goes in our life. We have friendships that we try to maintain. So that goes on our plate. We have really good activities like church activities. So we go ahead and put those on our plate. Of course, for some of us, we have aging parents and we need to take care of them. And so we have that that's on our plate. That's represented by eggs. I don't know why. That's just what I happened to grab. So we have that on our plate. Some of us really love recreation, right? And so we have the different fun things that we do in life. For me, it's golf. You might have different hobbies that you do, but those take up our time. They take up our energy. So we put them on our plate that represents our life. We have our recreation. I know there's a few of us out here that enjoy Facebook and Twitter. Those take up some of our life. I know there's no one here that enjoys a fun game of trivia crack or 2048, but those take up a little bit of our time, right? And so we put those on our plate, right? Some of you here are parents. I know that taking care of your kids, that can take up just a little bit of the energy and time in your life. So let's go ahead and put that on the plate. And I don't think this is a little bit of milk here. I don't think we're going to, you wouldn't just put milk on a plate, but it's in a bottle here, so it works. So you have that, and we'll let this apple, too, represent that. It's tax season, so some of us are going to spend some time paying taxes. So I don't know how that goes for you. May I have a great trusted tax person. For some of you, you do it yourself, but it takes up time. You get the point, right? So we put that on the plate, and then we have paying bills, even with online bill payment. We still, we still have to pay those bills. Keep an eye on them, right? So we go ahead and put that on our plate. I'm sure there's other activities. Some of you here might clean the house, might do laundry, might take care of dishes, and so we put that on our plate. And then we got another egg here, lots of eggs. So have another egg here for vacuuming and taking care of that. And well, you get the point, right? We have a lot going on in our life. We're balancing a lot. Our plates are pretty full as we have the different things going out to eat and other things that we do. Our plates are pretty full. We have a lot going on in our lives. This is our last sermon in our sermon series that we're calling Fresh Starts. And what we're calling the sermon today is simply creating margins. Here in just a little bit, we'll talk a little bit more about what I mean about creating margins in our life. But I think we all can relate to this in one way or another. Our plates are full. We might even have a lot of good things that we're putting on our plate, but the truth is that we become overwhelmed and we try to hold it all up. And we see what happens as we add more on there. Things start falling, slipping through the cracks. There's things that we're supposed to be doing that we might not be doing. What are the things that we're putting on our plate? That's one of the things we're going to explore this morning. We've got a lot going on in our lives. We're going to look at a story from the book of Luke about two ladies named Mary and Martha. Then after looking at that story, we're going to talk about this idea of Sabbath that we see in the Old Testament. And then after that, we're going to look at some practical ways in which we can create or set margins in our lives so we can live the kind of life that God has called us to live. And I'm going to try to do all of this without tripping over anything that is on the floor here. So Luke chapter 10, let's go ahead and start there. A story that many of us are familiar with Scripture know this situation very well. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." So Jesus is traveling, and he goes to the home of Martha. We have two different ladies here that do two different things. We're told that Mary sat at the Lord's feet. And we know that sitting at the feet of the teacher demonstrated that the person sitting at the feet of the teacher was a disciple, was a learner. So Jesus came to the house, and Mary, in her mind, said, "The only appropriate place for me to be now that I'm in the presence of Jesus is at his feet, soaking up his presence, learning from him." But while Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet, we have Martha. Luke tells us that she was distracted. She had all kinds of preparations to make. Now, we all can relate with this, right? We've had people come over to our house. None of us have had the Lord himself come to his house. So you'd have to imagine how crazy you would be going, getting ready for Jesus himself to come over as your guest. But we've had people come over, and we think about all the things that need to be done, right? I even have an eye for this. If people are coming over, all of a sudden I notice all the weirdest things in our house that I never noticed at other times, a smudge on the refrigerator or a little piece of dust on there, right? We want to get it all cleaned up when people come over. I think that's just kind of our human nature in many ways. Martha was distracted. She's thinking, "The Lord himself is at my house. There is so much to do to get ready." Now, we need to cut Martha some slack. In that culture, she was doing the honorable thing. When you have someone coming over, you want to be the best host that you can possibly be. So you want to prepare a meal for them. You want to make sure that everything is in order, especially when we're talking about Jesus Christ. Martha knew Jesus well. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, her brother. Martha goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister here, Mary, has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Again, we think that's pretty appropriate at that time, right? Come on, Jesus. Tell her to help me. But we know Jesus' response. "Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." And then he says, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." He says, only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that one thing. So much to do is what Martha's thinking, and yet here is Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, soaking up his teaching. She has chosen what's right. And notice the language that Jesus uses to refer to Martha here. She's worried. She's upset about all that's going on. And really, in this moment, only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that thing. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. Can't we all relate to Martha here? So much going on, so much on our plates. And what happens is, like Luke said about Martha, she's distracted. We become distracted. Or, like Jesus said, she's worried and upset about all that needs to be done. We become worried and upset about all that needs to be done. And so we have a very simple question that we have to ask ourselves. What can we do? What should we do to avoid becoming distracted, worried, and upset like Martha was? What can we do in our life so that we can do the one thing that's needed, the thing that Mary did, the thing that won't be taken from her, is how Jesus says it. What can we do? The thing I'd like to offer this morning is that as Christians, as people that are striving to bring God glory and live faithfully to Him, we can be about intentionally setting aside time for the most important things in life. We can be about intentionally setting aside time for the one thing, the thing that's most needed in our lives. We all can relate with the plate being full. I think we forget sometimes about the Sabbath that God commanded the Israelites to follow. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Let's look at this commandment called the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreign residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. A few observations about the Sabbath. There's four observations I'd like to make. The first is very simple. The Sabbath reminded the people that their security and satisfaction came in God alone. You ever thought about why God chose that seventh day to rest? Surely God wasn't tired, right? I don't think God gets tired. Why did he choose a day to rest? I think it's because it was a demonstration of the completion of his work. He was completely secure and satisfied in what he did. And so he could rest well on that seventh day as he looked upon those 6 days of creation and said, yes, what I have created is good. And now I will choose to rest. And so he commands the people to rest. And they can find their security and satisfaction in knowing that they have a relationship with the God who is completely satisfied in all that he has created, in all that he does. It's a reminder to the people that their security and their satisfaction come in God alone. What happens with us so often, and perhaps happened with the Israelites? So often we find our identity in what we do. We actually find our identity in what we're putting on our plates, right? I'm an engineer. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm an engineer. That's who I am. That's how I was wired to be. I'm a great golfer. I'm great at Trivia Crack or Facebook. This is who I am. I do gardening or whatever the case may be. You get the idea. So often we try to find our identity in what we do instead of in whose life we truly have life and who we're actually connected to God, the one who is completely satisfied and secure in who he is. And so by stopping, we're reminded that our hope, our security is completely 100% in God. It's not in anything that we do. As a matter of fact, Sabbath means stop, do nothing. And secondly, this is the second point. It was to be a day of rest, period. It was a day to do nothing. And in doing nothing, what people would find is that they would have time to enjoy relationships, enjoy their time with family, enjoy time in worship, enjoy time of recreation. That's what would happen in this Sabbath. And so it was an opportunity for them to create a rhythm of life that involved stopping, involved simply resting. And notice who it's for. It's for everyone. Right? Even the alien that is in your town, even the animals are simply to stop, to do nothing. When was the last time that you stopped? When was the last time that you did nothing? Just sat. When was the last time that you intentionally created a rhythm in your life in which you could just stop and enjoy life, to take it in, to soak up your surrounding, to soak up creation? To just stop and say, God, thank you for giving me life. One of the things that we find in this rhythm, or the Israelites found in this rhythm, was that when they stopped, you know what happened? The sun still came up. The plants continued to grow. The animals continued to live. Their family continued to be a family. When they stopped, life continued, because the true sustainer of life is God, not us. Sometimes by stopping, we can be reminded of that truth, that life really isn't about us. It's actually about God. It was a reminder that God was their true provider. That's the third point. And then finally, the fourth one, Sabbath observance was another way God's people were set apart. We know how the world would have it, right? Work 7 days a week. Work 150 hours, if there's even 150 hours in a week. More. God says, stop. Bask in my presence. Come to know me. Worship me. I'm your provider. I'm the one who is going to continue to sustain your life. You are not the sustainer of your life. I am. That's the word that God was speaking to the Israelites. It's the word that God speaks to us today. Your protection, your provision, all comes in me. Stopping reminds us of that truth. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament scholar, wrote this about Sabbath observance. He said, Sabbath concerns the periodic, disciplined, regular disengagement from the systems of productivity whereby the world uses people up to exhaustion. That disengagement refers also to the culture-produced expectations for frantic leisure, frantic consumptions, or frantic exercise. God's people have always been called to a rhythm of stopping, to rest, to become rejuvenated, reinvigorated for life. This isn't a ticket for laziness. It's not a ticket for just saying, you know, just this kind of laissez-faire approach to life. That's not what this is calling for. But it is resting in the security and satisfaction that God is working on behalf of his people. So how do we go about creating margins in our life? We know that we are not called to this Sabbath law, right? We are not under the Old Testament law. We all understand that. We get that. However, the principle of having a rhythm to stop and rest, to become rejuvenated, I believe is important for all of us. And so how do we create margins in our own life? How do we set those margins? How do we keep this from happening? How do we allow it that we have some space in which to breathe, in which to grow, which to reflect and meditate, to some space in which we can worship, which we can be involved in what the church has going on? How do we do that? One really important thing for us all, I think, is to learn a two-letter word. Is the word no. There's certain things that we have to learn to say no to. But the truth of the matter is, when we do say no to some things, we need to think, what are we saying yes to? So if we're going to say no to working overtime, if we're going to say no to that recreation, what is it that we're going to be saying yes to? For Mary, she was sitting at the Lord's feet. That was the one thing that was needed. What's the one thing for us? What are we going to be saying yes to? Maturing as disciples, serving, caring, listening, all of those kind of things. Sometimes we have to learn to say, no, that's too much. My plate is too full. I will be better if I stop, reflect, and rest. I will be a better servant. I will be a better child of God. The second one is like it. Be intentional with your time. Be intentional with your time. in a way we could use language like budget our time, think through our time, create for spouses, create a date night, right? Create a time to be with family. Make sure that you have time to spend with your church family. Create times for engaging your neighbors in important conversations about Jesus. Create those times. Be intentional with our time. A lot of times we think that the time is just pulling us everywhere, and we have no control over time. That's not the truth. We need to be intentional with our time. And I think this is important. The third one is to get over trying to be perfect. So here's what happens so often, I think, their plate, right? We look around and we compare ourselves to other people. And we say, well, they've got this much on their plate, so I need to have this much on my plate. Or they say, look how nice their plate looks. It's just so orderly and pretty and so full, so I need to have my plate so full. It's not about your plate being pretty. It's about your plate being healthy. What's healthy for you? Where is God in there? Where is the one thing that's needed for you? Where is the worship? Where are the things that we've been talking about in this Fresh Start series? Where is prayer? Where is Bible study? It's not about your plate looking pretty. It's about it looking healthy. We know what it's like. You've already seen it, trying to get around with a full plate, right? Things are going to fall off. We're going to drop it. And we're all, thankfully, for the grace of God, He loves us. No matter how full our plate is, but He does call us to mature. He calls us to think. He calls us to grow. So we look around and we try to get around with this full plate, right? We try to get into the car. We try to go to work. We try to be involved in church. We try to do all the things with this full plate, and the whole time it's shaking and it's hard to manage. Learn to say no. Be intentional with your time and get over trying to be perfect. It's not about being pretty or perfect. It's about being healthy. That's what we're called to. I believe as a community of faith, the church family, as we create margins in our life, I believe some incredible things will happen. I think that we'll find that we have the ability to love more deeply, to listen more attentively, to care more compassionately, to give more generously, to teach more passionately and effectively, to worship more meaningfully. I believe that's what we'll find that happens as God blesses our efforts to create these margins that allow us to live faithfully for Him. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, we would be so glad to pray with you or for you. We desire to be a church family that bears one another's burdens. We understand that we can't do it alone. That's why we have the church. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers, please let us know those prayer concerns, and we'd be so glad to pray with you or for you. Also, I need to note that there will be elders available in the foyer, and they would be just glad to listen to you and pray with you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to put your Lord on in baptism, like Stephen is doing this morning over at Camp Hensel, today would be a great day to do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.